We are in cycle B of the liturgical lectionary, and cycle B is always from the Gospel of Mark. So why are we reading from the Gospel of John today? Well, because the Gospel of Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels, and it doesn't have enough material to fill an entire liturgical year, all the Sundays. So there are about five Sundays in late July and early August that we fill in with the Gospel of John, and it's always the sixth chapter of John, the Bread of Life discourse. So we begin that today. But it picks up exactly where Mark's narrative was leaving off last Sunday. Because what we would have been reading from Mark this Sunday is the multiplication of the loaves. So last Sunday, Jesus sees this large crowd, and he has pity for them. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and so he begins to teach them. So he's feeding them with his word. He has already, in Mark's gospel, fed them with hope because of the miracles and the healings. So the Son of Man comes into the human condition, and he heals the ills, and he feeds the hungry, and nourishes them with his teaching, with his word, but then eventually with his body and blood. And so we pick that up now in the Gospel of John. But the Gospel of John, of course, is very different from the other three. The other three are what we call a Christology from below. The disciples and the narrators of the Gospel, they experience Jesus, first of all, in his humanity. And then after the resurrection, they deduce from everything that they have seen and heard that he was not just a man, but he was also God. But John's gospel starts from above. It starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him and through him, everything came into being. So it starts out, John's gospel starts out with the divinity of Christ and moves then toward his humanity. And so in the Gospel of John, since Jesus is divine from the beginning, and that's the understanding from the outset, Jesus is always in control. So in John's Gospel, for example, as we get near the Passion, he says, "No one takes my life from me. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to pick it up again." Jesus is always in control. So here in the gospel today, we hear Jesus challenging Philip, "Where can we get enough food to feed all these people?" And the text says, he said this to test Philip, because he himself knew what he was going to do. He's divine, he's God, he's in charge, he already knows what's going to happen. So in John's gospel, there are a series of signs. The miracles are signs in John's understanding, and the biggest sign of all, and it covers this whole sixth chapter in John, the biggest sign of all is the multiplication of the loaves. So Jesus does this miracle as a sign, we might say as a sacrament. Sacraments are signs of physical, ordinary reality that lead us through some kind of a doorway, a window, into a much deeper understanding. And so liturgy, for example, functions in a liminal way. A limen is a doorway or a threshold. And liturgy and scripture and Christian life is always about this liminal experience. It's about this doorway. So doors in a Catholic church are usually big and impressive, and push hard, you know, to get in, because it's transitioning into another dimension of reality. In Eastern churches, Eastern Catholic churches, it's even more predominant. When you step into an Eastern Catholic church, the decoration is so amazing. Everything, the walls, the ceiling, everything is decorated, And the liturgy always starts out with the priest coming in and incensing all the icons in the room. And by the time he's finished, you can hardly see for the smoke. Some of you would not be able to make it in the Eastern Church. What's the reason for that? Because you've left the street, you've left the world, and you've entered into the kingdom. And so all these icons around at eye level, these are the saints, because you've entered into the kingdom of the saints. And it's mysterious, it's smoky, it's cloudy, because you've entered into another dimension, another world. Well, here in the Western Church, in the Roman Rite, it's much more plain, and we don't do it quite that way. But the idea is still there. The reason you pass through the doors and the reason you sign yourself in that baptismal font every time you come in here is because you are transitioning from out there in the world into the kingdom. So, we often talk here about time collapsing in the liturgy and how for us humans, time exists chronologically, 1 hour after another, 1 moment, 1 second after another. But for God, who is infinite, there is no time, because time is a division between the beginning and the end of a thing. And since God has no beginning or end, there is no time. There's no division. And Jesus enters into time in his incarnation. And he subjects himself to time and space in a way that we call that the miracle, the mystery of the incarnation. God, who is timeless, enters into time. God, who is limitless, enters into limitedness, confined to one person, one body, one space. And yet, there's something about this God-man who is timeless at the same time. And even though he comes, he's the new Adam, he comes out of all of the history of human procreation. And yet at the same time, he comes from the future kingdom. And so Philip and Andrew, and in that first reading, the offerer who comes to Elisha and offers this bread, they all say, well, what is this for all those people? We humans are good at pointing out the scarcity, the inadequacy of ourselves, of the earth's produce. You know, we worry about human starvation. We worry that there's not enough oil, there's not enough water, there's not enough grain, there's never enough. We humans, we are so good at pointing out the scarcity. But Jesus, the God-man from the future kingdom, points out the abundance. And so Elisha, who is a kind of a type for Christ, he says, give it to them anyway. And there'll be some left over. And there was. And Philip and Andrew point out, what are a few barley loaves and a few fish for all these people? What are we going to do? And Jesus says, tell them to recline. Just trust. And there are 12 baskets left over. God is always reminding us of the abundance. He comes into our scarcity. He comes into our smallness, our inadequacy, our inability to tackle the world's problems. And he reminds us that, after all, it's ultimately God's action anyway. Ultimately, it's grace. And you have more within you than you know. You know, we worry about if certain tragic things would happen to us, how would we endure? And then when something tragic happens to us, from somewhere deep within, we pull up the reserve, we pull up the resolve, and we manage it better than we ever thought we would. And that's the way it is with all of Earth's scarcity, with all human scarcity. After all, we are divine. We have divine DNA coursing through our veins. We were created in the image and likeness of God. We've been baptized into Jesus. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. So how can we concentrate solely on the scarcity when probably in faith we should be concentrating on the abundance?